One of the issues that you dealt with as a counselor was the dispute between Simon Fraser University and the city over land ownership and land use on Burnaby Mountain. Can you tell me in what way you became aware of the problems between town and gown?
You know, the description of dispute is probably not the kindest way to look at it, because it was
okay.
It was more a difference of opinion, discussion that went on. The university was well aware of the intention of the city when they gave them the land, that they were going to protect the conservation area. It was like the endowment lands at the University of British Columbia, that there was the moral obligation to look after the area surrounding the university, and that this was not an opportunity for them to develop or make money. This was a duty, you know, to ensure that that area remained pristine.
And this was how this was the university's first stance on it, or
no? The university.
Oh, I'm sorry. So this was the city's position.
The city's position, and the city was very clear that the idea was that there was the potential for the university to develop within the Ring Road, you know, and that had always been the intention. There were forces at Simon Fraser University that said, no, it's our land, we can make choices about what we do with it. And mm-hmm. if we chose to expand out into the additional area, that we could do that, you know, but it was not a popular position at the university, and it wasn't taken up as a position by the administration. It was voices that were saying they could do more than what simply develop within the Ring Road. Generally, Simon Fraser is a progressive university, and they would not want to go in with that kind of position to their own students and faculty. And that was not that would be contraindicated, because they would have found that they had a revolution on their hands if it appeared that they were going to be developing forested areas around the university. So I don't think it was ever a position that was particularly serious. It was more saber-rattling than it was a position being taken by the university, at least from my perspective. Now, prior to me coming on to council, mm-hmm. there may have been different attitudes, and there may have been more discussion between the local government and Simon Fraser University about those issues.
Yes.
But remember, the council that was there before us was a right-wing council, and were more likely to be pro-development and more likely to be pro-potential tax dollars than we were when we came in. We were much more conscious of environmentalism and of the protection of areas of the city.
So when the more right-wing government was in, there would have been a more... They would have agreed more with SFU in what they're...
They would have agreed with those voices that said there's a potential for development. And there was no shortage of others who had a similar position. I mean, I can remember Bob Williams, who was an NDP MLA mm-hmm. and was part of the Barrett government, talking about the development potential of Burnaby Mountain and the fact that much more than simply the Forest Grove area could have been
yes.
developed.
Well, I believe in 1964 there was a plan to develop the South Slopes, and in fact I think in the Forest Grove area this was where the town center node was going to be rather than where it is now. So I guess there were considerations.
Oh yeah, about, yeah. You know. Well, I mean, originally planning staff had looked at the town center being around Deer Lake too. You know, so we've got old plans where Deer Lake was going to have high rises around it as they developed their town center around
yes.
the lake, but it didn't happen, you know,
yes.
and so there's ideas that get floated, you know, and there are propositions that get floated. I mean, there was a proposition that they were going to build a road right over Burnaby Mountain and connect with a bridge to the North Shore. So you can imagine, you know, there's been some, that was a highways proposition from the provincial government. You know, and we can look back at it now and roll our eyes and say that was absurd, but they'd reserve land for it, and you know,
when would that have been proposed?
Oh, that would have been proposed probably in the 60s, and and in fact it was during the NDP government in the 1990s that we were able to obtain the site for Burnaby Mountain High School, because the government officially gave up on the road that would have taken it across Burnaby Mountain and created that bridge, and the land was no longer necessary, so we got them to give it to the school board in order to build the school.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a combination of stories. So there's no shortage of discussions and ideas floated about massive developments and, you know, economic potential, but ultimately, none of them gained much support, you know, and none of them actually developed any momentum. They were more trial balloons that were floated, and, you know, there would have been some people who said, oh yeah, that's a good idea, and, you know, and then there would have been a reaction immediately from people who are much more conscious of the long-term benefit of the preservation of Burnaby Mountain and the historic obligation of the university to protect that area.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking that in 1971 there was also some idea of developing the south slopes as well. There was an article in the paper that I saw that it was quite a futuristic sort of idea. And it's so in 1974 Planning Department then held public hearings. Do you remember about that?
I wasn't here at that time, yes. So I would not have been aware of any kind of public hearings in 1974.
I would have been
in first year of my law school at that point, and had very little familiarity with Burnaby.
Right.
Although interestingly enough, I also, you know, when I was at university, worked at Lake City in the Sears warehouse, so I worked right under the mountain and right under the Forest Grove area then.
Well, I was just thinking of what you were saying about people becoming aware and expressing their opinions about the mountain. I guess there must have been a lot of pressure around developing the lower slopes of Burnaby Mountain, and town planning in general in Burnaby. Things are growing. So in 1974, the Planning Department holds public hearings, which resulted in a report, was it called Public Hearings Phase 1, I think is the title of it, very bland title. But what they did, this was Basil Lux and Jack Bellhouse, they went out into the community and met with people. It sounded like they over a year just going out and talking to anyone who wanted to talk to them. And then they came out with recommendations. So I thought that was an interesting approach. Go and ask the people, and then make your recommendations. And one of the recommendations was the creation of the conservation area on Burnaby Mountain. So that was the first conservation area.
Yeah, and I think the Forest Grove development was kind of a compromise in that regard, you know, looking at confining development, and, you know, very much the same kind of thing that happened in North Van, West Van, you know, areas where there was a line drawn, you know, and that was conservation past that line and development would only go so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was a degree of the same kind of decision making that went in, but also it was very much a reflection of the desire of people, even in the 1970s, to protect their environment and to ensure that there was green space. And Burnaby had always been at the forefront in protecting green space. You know, we were And at that same time in the early 70s, we were the first city to have an open water course bylaw where we protected all of our open water courses, where traditionally cities had piped and closed in water courses in order to get more developable land. We had said quite the opposite in Burnaby, that we were going to keep those water courses open. And that became a hallmark of the city, that we continued to have these very vital streams and creeks going through our city. Many of them later were brought back to salmonid enhancement programs. And so it was a conscious effort, and I think Burnaby was ahead of its time in that regard.
Do you know why that is? Was that a change in people's attitudes in the 1970s?
You know, I think it was. I think that many people had lived in Vancouver, and Burnaby was largely people who had been moving out into the suburbs. Mm-hmm. They were well aware of the limitations in Vancouver, the fact that, you know, there were not many wild areas anymore. I mean, Vancouver basically had, you know, Stanley Park. You know, there wasn't a lot of other areas that were available to people. And so I think people were more conscious who were leaving East Vancouver and starting new homes in Burnaby. They were more conscious of protecting the kind of green space that existed within their community. And so Burnaby has consistently dedicated large amounts of land within our city to park. In fact, 1/4 of the city is designated as park. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, compared to Vancouver with about 12 or 13%, including Stanley Park, shows that that we were much more aware of the necessity of having those areas protected than Vancouver was during the course of their development. And New Westminster, about the same kind of percentage. And New Westminster was developed much earlier than Burnaby. So in between the two developed cities, we were a little bit behind them in development and more conscious of preserving the green space.
So you actually had the opportunity to preserve the green space.
We had the opportunity, and we'd probably develop the both the wherewithal, the ability to do that, and the consciousness that was required to do that. You know, and that wasn't always true in the years before when really people didn't have much awareness. In fact, most of what they were doing was conquering their natural environment.